A huge welcome to Mosaic, and you've come on a great Sunday because we are starting a brand new preaching series today. It's going to last about 4 weeks. It's called Reboot, and we're looking at mission and values found in the book of Acts. We're looking at what God has called us to be and do as a church family. Recently, my brother-in-law lent me his electric bike, and I know you proper cyclists out there will look down your noses on me, but it's been glorious. I can just sort of sail along. I particularly like long, sort of slow uphill climbs where you get to overtake all these men in Lycra and just sort of wave of them as you go by. Anyway, I was coming into work to the offices and I forgot to charge the bike. And so about halfway in, the battery completely died. And electric bikes are heavy. And if you pedal without the motor, then you're sort of working against the dynamo. And so it was like torture, absolute torture getting into the offices. I arrived like a very sweaty, tired mess. And it was a bit of an object lesson for me. In one, remember to recharge the bike. But two, about everything we do as a church. The object lesson is, if we are lacking in the Holy Spirit's power, then things are going to stop working pretty quickly, or it will just feel like hard work and there'll be little joy involved. Amen? So we've got a really big biblical vision for what we want to be and do as a church family. And I believe as we share that story over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to kick us off with reminding us that we need the Holy Spirit to accomplish anything in this church. And we're going to spend our time in Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to 11. So if you've got a Bible, get those out. And just to say, if you're not a Christian or you're a visitor, perhaps someone has invited you along, then you are just so welcome here. We love it when people exploring faith come along. And I guess what I'd want you to hear from this morning is, so my background is my dad was a policeman and my mum was a nurse, and they were good people and they spent their whole careers like giving out to society. And I really honour them and honour people that do those jobs. But the church is not just about good people trying to do good in society, however important that is. We believe in a supernatural God who empowers us by his Holy Spirit to be more than we ever could be on our own. And so it's not that we're better than anyone, it's more that we humbly admit that we cannot do this stuff on our own. We need God to come and do something unique and special and gift us from within. And this text is all about what that looks like. Amen? Everyone with us so far? Great. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, this is Jesus, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John, this is John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. Everyone say witnesses. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And listen, if you fall asleep during my talk today, this is my main point. And we've got it on the screen. Next slide, please, Phil. A baptism or drenching, a filling of the Holy Spirit's power is essential to be an ever-expanding witness to the world. So before we land in, I guess, our main verse for today, which is verse 8, I want you to see a similar text to the Acts 1 passage in Luke 24. So Luke, he's the author of Luke and the book of Acts. He was a doctor. He was a disciple of Jesus. And he wrote like a two-part series of the life of Jesus and then followed it up in Acts with, I guess, the birth of the early church. And so those two books actually overlap at the end of Luke and at the start of Acts. So at the end of Luke, Luke 24, 47, Jesus says to his disciples, just before he ascends to heaven, it says this, got it on the screen, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then you'll notice, very similarly to what he does in Acts 1, verse 8, which we read at the start, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, i.e. the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. So the repetition, the fact we've got two volumes joined together, that repetition, that repeating of the filling of the Holy Spirit is Luke's way of saying this is really, really important for the church to get. And there's two things I particularly want to draw out from these verses. So number one, the Holy Spirit's power is promised. That's what Acts tells us, that this is something sent from the Father. You know, in the Old Testament, there are 8,000 promises that are made from God to his people. 8,000. There is one promise in the Old Testament for every three verses. And Luke is it tells us of one promise that so encapsulates all the others that he calls it in verse 4, the gift my Father promised. It's like he can sort of say, above all those other promises, this one is really, really important. It's indispensable. And you need to wait and not start anything without this promise, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he would come and live inside of you. So the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, would come to each one of us. And it's interesting, if you were a disciple waiting for this promise, you would know the stories of the Old Testament. People like Samson, where the Spirit came upon him in power that enabled him to be a weak man that became strong. Or you'll know that Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied that when God's people were filled with the Spirit, Isaiah 60, the least of you will become 1,000 and the smallest a mighty nation. The prophet Ezekiel saw the Holy Spirit breathing life into skeletons that became a living mighty army. And then John the Baptist himself, who was like the forerunner to Jesus, he says this in Matthew 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. And he will do what? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus became that person who followed after John the Baptist. He was the one that loved us and so loved us that he dies on a cross in order to bring us back to God. And he's about to ascend into heaven and he gathers his disciples. And we read it right at the start. He says, I'm promising you that long-awaited Holy Spirit that you know about in the Old Testament, the time is now. He is finally coming to empower the church. And in Acts 2, you find the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit falls on the early church, where Peter declares in boldness, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And so the Spirit falls on the early church, and probably the overriding difference the Holy Spirit makes to the early church is a spirit of courage and boldness. You know, just as Heidi was saying, her students need boldness. The overriding picture of the New Testament church is this, like, really courageous people. I live in East Leeds, and I live by an old village green. And I was walking to the shops early one morning, and I sort of walked past the green, and there was a man exercising his dog. And I came across a schoolboy. I think he must have been about 12. And he was just sort of like, he looked really agitated. He was sort of like walking around like this. And I sort of walked past him and noticed him. And I just thought, what, like something's wrong here. So I just sort of walked back and I said, is everything okay? And he said to me, I've been here half an hour. That man is exercising that dog. Do you think that dog will bite me? And bless him, he needs to walk past the green to get to school. And he's terrified of dogs. And so I said to him, look, the dog's miles away. I think you'll be all right. Just go for it. And he like wasn't moving or anything. I said, I'll walk there with you. Why don't you just walk by my side and I'll make sure you're absolutely okay. I'll protect you from this dog. I felt sort of very courageous. I was like, I hope the dog doesn't come anywhere near me. But I said, you'll be all right. Just stay with me. And so we just walked together, just past the green. It was literally, it's like a 30-second walk. And he was on his way to school. I don't want to sound overblown, but I'm doing the work of the Holy Spirit there for Christians. So the Holy Spirit gives you courage and boldness that you don't have by yourself. And even when that happens, you often see the thing that you're scared of is not actually something to be that scared of anyway. But the Holy Spirit did that to the early church and made them courageous and bold. And listen, I'm telling you about the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you about courage and boldness because we are not left as a church to do this stuff on our own. We'd be foolish to think otherwise. We need the Holy Spirit and he is promised to us. So when at the end of this meeting, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, you're standing in the good of 2,000, probably 4,000 years worth of Old Testament and New Testament promises that when you ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, he will come. We can rest in it. It's not really about you. It's what God the Father has promised. So the Holy Spirit power is promised. And secondly, the Holy Spirit's power is essential for ever expanding witness. See, Jesus, when he says to his disciples, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power and you'll be my witnesses near and far, he's not talking about the occasional word of witness in the same circle of culture, but he's talking about this ever-expanding witness into the world. They had power to go, and as a church, we want to send you powerfully into your workplaces and your neighborhoods, into the 33 wards of Leeds, a million people, most of whom don't know anything about Jesus, and then further into towns and cities and nations. But we need, as a people, to not just assume that's going to happen. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to propel us out of our comfortable sofas into a waiting world. There's a man called Arthur T. Pearson, and he started 150 years ago the student volunteer movement, and its mission really was to speak to students about world mission, and over its period of existence, it raised up 20,000 students who would go on to become missionaries. And in 1882, he wrote, I guess, sort of a letter about what it is for us to finish the Great Commission, to let the whole world know about Jesus. And he said three things were needed. One, the whole church needed to be involved. Two, evangelistic zeal was needed in the lives of believers. And three, a baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit was needed. And his last point, he wrote this. Next slide, please. To do this work, we must get more gospel, more vitality. The church has money, brains, organizations, rivers of prayer, and oceans of sermons, but she lacks power. There are still 7,000 people groups around the world that have never heard about Jesus. So if you just take these blocks, we've got four blocks of people in the room. Imagine this whole room represented the whole world. You've got on this side probably about 1 billion disciples of Jesus. These are people who are Christians, who are active in their faith. You've also got the second block, probably about 1 billion nominal Christians. So these are people that live in Christian countries or perhaps knew a little bit about church growing up. In this block represents 2.5 billion people that are living in countries which already have churches, but they're unreached. So there's 2.5 billion people around the world for whom they've got access to the good news about Jesus, but haven't responded to him. And then this last block represents 2.5 billion people in the world that are unreached and unengaged. So they have nothing. So there's no indigenous churches and there's no indigenous witness. They will never ever hear about Jesus unless someone goes to them. 1 billion, 1 billion, 2.5 billion, 2.5 billion. I believe there are people here today that are part of God's answer to going to these people and these people and these people. I believe that that's why one of the reasons our church exists, that we're meant to be, all of us are called to stay and invest in people and pray, but some of us are actually sent, called to go, called to plant churches, called to be witnesses in the Holy Spirit's power. And I just want to say it again, we need this power as a church family. We need it at Mosaic. I need it. Our mission group leaders, our church planters need it. And you need it. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, you need it. Like, turn to the other person on the other side. You really need it. You really need it. And the reason we really need it is because without it, our witness for Christ will lack deep conviction. It will lack self-denying courage. It will lack convincing wisdom. It will lack converting effectiveness. Without the Spirit, we'll lack the gifts of the Spirit. Miraculous languages, miracles, prophecy, healing, words of knowledge. So I say again, next slide, please. A baptism drenching, filling the Holy Spirit's power is essential to be an ever-expanding witness to the world. So the question is, are you baptized, filled, drenched with the Holy Spirit's power? We're going to just take a short break now, and I'm going to show you a little video of two heroes of mine that used to be part of Mosaic. And I want you just to hear their journey of encountering Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit's power, to be an ever-expanding witness to the world. So if we dim the lights, let's watch Chris and Lisa Mason.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
I'm Chris.
It's really great to be with you this morning. Matt's asked us to share our story of how we came to be a part of Mosaic and life since then and what God's been doing in us and through us. So I'll hand over to Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you've been looking this morning at the Holy Spirit, and I think when we reflect on the last 20 years of life together, there's just these clear moments where the Holy Spirit has been leading us in these big decisions, but also just in the everyday. And so somehow in telling our story, we want to try and, I guess, tell the story of the Holy Spirit and what he's been doing in our lives through that. So we've been married about 19 years, and we have four children, and we live in Bradford. Before that, we lived in West Leeds. Before that, we lived in almost near the middle in Armley. And we moved to Mosaic in 2005, when Mosaic was just really small and starting out. And I think we arrived fresh-faced and in need of God, but also full of faith and ready to see God move. And I guess we moved to Mosaic because we saw something in Matt and Pip and in the emerging team here of a desire to see God move in this city but also in the nations of the world. And so we saw something, and something, sometimes when you see something in somebody that's clearly the Holy Spirit, it's so attractive. And we used to joke that if you get dinner around the table with Matt and Pip, you're likely to stay. And we had dinner around the table with Matt and Pip and stayed. And so we moved to Leeds in 2005.
Yeah, we really loved Mosaic's heart for the poor, for the international people in our city, for asylum seekers and refugees. So we just got stuck straight in serving where we could and just learning from Matt and Pip and the other incredible people around us about how to live a life for Jesus, how to be on a mission for him, how to share his love with the world around us. And it was a really exciting time to be a part of Mosaic. We enjoyed going out on the streets of Matt, sharing the gospel with people, caring for the students that were a part of the church. And at the same time, Chris and I were exploring a call to the nations. We were learning languages, building relationship with churches in other nations, and looking for a way to be sent overseas. And that was really our heart at the time, but God had other plans. And so we moved into West Leeds in 2008, And at that point, God started to speak to us about planting a church in West Leeds. But it was a real journey of surrender for us because we really wanted to go, and God was asking us to stay. But he unpicked that really gently and carefully with us. And eventually we really felt the call to build a church in West Leeds, which is when we planted the Oak Church.
I guess this combination of God not only kind of expanding our vision and showing us what he could be doing in the nations, but also at the same time working on our hearts and on the inner stuff. And that, I think that's probably been our story all the way through, that as God, as we've kind of lent into him for some of the bigger things or the call type things or the nation stuff or the church planting stuff, he's done a work in us before that's happened, or often on the journey of that happening. And that's been both joyful at times, but also really painful at times. You know, our Father, he disciplines us and leads us through those seasons in order to bring fruitfulness, because he loves to use us in that way and for us to see his goodness. And so I think these last sort of 10, 15 years as we moved into West Leeds and then started to plant the Oak Church in West Leeds, which was our joy to lead for about 11 years before handing that over last summer. And throughout all of that time, I think each time you hit a roadblock or a tricky situation or a moment where you're desperate for God to move, he does something inside and then he does something outside too, and he breaks that through. So we had the joy of planting from Mosaic in 2011 to plant the Oak.
For me, that time, as I look back, is an incredible time of God doing amazing things in us and also in our family. We adopted our son, and we never would have met him if we hadn't have been in West Leeds leading the Oak Church. And we can really see God's hand now as we look back. But that's all. It was also a time for us of learning to lead in the hidden places, in the unseen places. For me, it was a time of stepping back from leadership and focusing on the family and caring for my friends and the people around me. And in that hidden place, I encountered Jesus in a way that I never would have done if he hadn't have kept us here and kept us hidden away. So it's a really beautiful season in our life. But we came to a point where we were just asking God why we loved the city of Bradford so much. It was a place where I was volunteering here. We'd bring the children here. So we just said to God, you know, what's this love that you've put in us for this city that's right on our doorstep? We decided to pray about it. Within a week, we had sold our house in West Leeds and had an offer accepted on a house here in Bradford. It happened so quickly, but God spoke really clearly about his heart for this city. We love how this city is full of, just like Leeds, full of people from all different nations. And God spoke through his scripture, through Isaiah 54, that he was going to be rebuilding this city, but that we could move our family here and that our children would be safe and he would give them peace. So we moved into this beautiful city. We moved our kids into the local schools, and we just began to connect with our friends and neighbours and ask God why he put us here, what he wanted us to do.
And just winding all the way back, I guess, when we first came to Mosaic, one of the first things we did in the first couple of years was to do the Mosaic Training School, where we just had an opportunity to learn not just about God, but to learn to hear his voice. And I think over the years we've been learning to hear his voice more and more, and the ways in which he speaks to us. And so actually our move to Bradford was because he spoke to us in a way that we knew how to recognize, because we've heard him speak that way in a few times, and we knew it was significant that this is a big move for us. And there's been lots of things over these last few years of being here in Bradford where we've just felt him leading us and him speaking to us in ways that sometimes it feels countercultural or not quite the way which we would do it or do things. But when he speaks and you're learning to hear his voice, there's a surrender that then comes to, okay, well, Lord, you know what you're doing. And our story, our testimony is that you've always known what you were doing, and he's always proved to be faithful, so we can lean into him again. And so lots of our journey really here in Bradford right now is not kind of, I don't know, the big glitzy stuff, but is what he's doing in here and the way that he's leading us, showing us, revealing more and more of who his Spirit is, who the Son is, and the gentleness of the Father. Yeah,
we are really thankful and grateful for the opportunities he's given us here in the city. Chris is now chaplain for the Bradford Bulls Rugby Club, which is an incredible way to engage with people in the city that we never would have met in any other way. I've been learning to teach English to speakers of other languages, so I've started a class in our children's primary school where I get to meet parents from all over the world and hear their stories. And we just pray each day, Jesus, who have you got for us today? And we're trying to be faithful in sharing God's love with the people we meet, but also sharing stories from the Bible with the people we encounter, offering prayer to people that we meet in need. And we can see how God is just each day connecting us and joining the dots together. It's miraculous how he knows where we're going each day, and he knows who we'll encounter. So we're trusting him that as part of Grace City Church, we're all going to be a part of God's move in the city, of his Holy Spirit being poured out in this place. So we keep sowing seeds and sowing seeds, and trusting that God will water the seeds and that they will grow. So
Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon Mosaic Church. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have rescued her and brought, you are bringing children, you're bringing us, Lord, into relationship with you. And Holy Spirit, we pray you'd lead, you'd baptise, you'd drench your family, Lord, you'd drench your children at Mosaic and in the nations, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Chris and Lisa, they're heroes of mine. Please don't be put off by the fact they're church planters. Sometimes you can think there's this special brand of Christians that go and plant churches that don't relate to your normal life, but the principles are the same. Hearing the voice of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, and obeying as he speaks, walking courageously, obedient to God. And I just find it so inspiring listening to their story. So let me just close out by saying this. We're trying to be a church that does the great commandment and the great commission. So the great commandment is loving the Lord your God with everything you have. And the great commission is making disciples of all nations. And I guess we summarize our vision. Next slide, please, Phil. Like this, hopefully. So we talk about the up and out. The up is about following Jesus. And so we call you all to just have your lives that are based around him. We have Jesus on the throne of our lives. It's also about one another. So there's an inward movement we make to build community. We can't do it on our own. We need to belong to a family. And it's about the out, where we're making disciples locally and globally, filled with the Spirit to be witnesses. And so the next 3 weeks of church, we're going to take those different components up, in, and out, and dive in deep. But before we do that, just want to come back to the text. In the Bible, in the New Testament, the original language that was written was Greek. And when Luke wrote down his story of the birth of the early church in Acts, he used Greek. And there were two words that he could use for baptize. One was bapto, and one was baptizo. And the only way we know the difference between these two words is that historians have found a recipe about 200 years after Jesus was born. And it's a recipe for making pickles. And Nicandor, the author, says that you bapto your cucumber in hot water, and then you remove it and you baptizo it in vinegar. And there's a really big difference. Bapto is to dip for a short time, and baptizo is to soak and marinate, so you get a pickle at the end of it. When you baptizo, a transformation happens. And so in Acts 1 verse 5, Luke writes this, "For John baptized, baptizo, with water, but in a few days you will be baptized, baptizo, with the Holy Spirit." Luke uses the word baptizo to describe being filled, immersed, marinated, by the Spirit. So when you just turn to the person next to you and slightly awkwardly say, "Are you pickled in the Holy Spirit? Are you pickled in the Holy Spirit?" Like when we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, it's a soaking, it's this immersion, it's this drenching that God wants to do. For some people, it will feel like a slow, steady flow from God. You may not actually feel anything when the transformation happens, and that's okay. Faith is believing that you've been filled. And often that's the case for me. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't feel anything, but I'm trusting because it's a promise made 4,000 years ago running through Jesus, who every promise is yes and amen, I'm going to receive when I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. But sometimes, you know, it actually tangibly feels like God is near. So you can feel the peace and love of God coming and filling your being. And sometimes it feels like you're under a waterfall where you're suddenly filled with the love and acceptance of God. But know this, the Holy Spirit wants to pickle us, marinate us today so that we can be bold and courageous and full of joy and filled with supernatural gifts. Amen? Amen. So do you want to stand with me? And it'd be great to have the band back. And this is the bit, I guess, in the preach where I guess I'm looking for you guys to be involved. And I'm going to pray for us to be filled and marinated and pickled with the Holy Spirit, the baptizo of the Holy Spirit. And listen, my prayer for today would be there'd be lots of thirsty people in the room. Be lots of humble people that say, I just can't do this on my own. Perhaps you haven't been prayed for a very long time. And you want to be part of our church family. You want to be caught up in the great mission that God's called us and many other churches to. And you just know being nice is not enough. Like just trying to do stuff to your best of your ability is not enough. So would you just close your eyes for me for a moment? And you don't have to do this. I guess I would just want to call people that really want it this morning just to perhaps put your hands out in front of you. You know, only do it if you're open. Only do it if you're thirsty. Only do it if you're like putting your faith in the Holy Spirit. But I'd so encourage you not to do this walk with God on your own. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence here. Thank you, it's only because of Jesus we even get to pray that prayer. Thank you, it's a promise that comes through the Bible that's applicable today. Thank you, at Pentecost you announced the Holy Spirit was available to all peoples. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. We welcome you to fill us with the peace and love of God. We welcome you to empower us for the mission you've called us to make a difference in the workplace and beyond. Lord, I pray for an outbreak of faith so people would step into the gifts of the Spirit, that people would pray for the sick and they'd be healed, that prophecy would abound so that others are strengthened and encouraged. God, I pray that you'd speak to people that are here for a season that will be sent. Perhaps it's with their work or to a different nation or a different place. God, we ask that you would work in us so that we would be your disciples to all nations.